Shalom and welcome to Nach Yomi. We are beginning Sefer Shmuel Beis. This is going to be an exciting journey of 24 prokim, which will take us just under 5 weeks to complete. Shmuel Beis is in a certain sense its own book, but it really is also part of the first book of Shmuel as well. It's going to frame David HaMelech's rule. So really, Shmuel Aleph concluded with the reign of Shmuel and then Shaul, and the ending was Shaul's death. This now gives rise to the kingdom of David, and that's what Shmuel Beis is going to primarily be about. So here we go. Quick summary of the perek itself. Our first perek is actually following up after the death of Shaul. Remember, Shaul, just for those who are not at this point, Shaul was on the battlefield, and as predicted, was killed in battle, but he actually took his own life. He fell on his own sword in battle, so as not to be taken by the Philistines, and the people of Yavesh Gilad took his body back and buried it. But that's really where we left it. But nobody, David and his men, don't really know about this. So what happens is that there's David HaMelech has been seeking reprisal for those who raided his town called Ziklag from the Amalekim, and about 2 or 3 days after the battle, he finds a fellow who's covered with his clothes are torn. He's got earth on his head. These are obviously signs of avelos or extreme trauma, and he says, "Tell me what happened." He says, "I ran from the battlefield." This young man says, and many of the Israelites were killed. Shaul and Yonatan were also killed. And David says, "How do you know? How exactly do you have this testimony?" So the young man says, "Well, what happened was, is I was by Har Gilboa, which is the area where this battle was taking place, and I was coming across, and the Plishtim were encroaching, and I found Shaul leaning on his spear or on his sword, and the Plishtim were about to catch him, and he turned to me. So Shaul had fallen on his sword, but was not fully dead yet." And he said, and he called me, and he said, "Who are you?" And the man says, "I am an Amaleki. I'm from the nation of Amalek, and Shaul asked me to kill me because he was dying, but he didn't want to be captured by the Plishtim. So what I did was I went up and I killed him because I knew he wasn't going to live. And so I took off his crown and his bracelets, like the royal arm covers, and I brought them to you." So immediately upon seeing this, David knew that the man was telling the truth. David HaMelech tears kriya, and everybody who's around there tears kriya for Shaul and for Yonatan and for the people who were killed. And they fasted, they cried, they wept until the evening. And the with the words that we know later on to be used in many other in the kinos, which is al Shaul val Yonatan benoi val Ami Hashem val Beis Yisrael kinofli becharev, to the microcosm and the macrocosm of those who were killed by the sword. So David HaMelech then turns, after the initial reaction of trauma, he turns to this young man. He says, "Where are you from?" The man says, "I'm from I'm a Ger Amaleki," which probably means that one of his parents must have converted or joined the nation of Amalek and returned, it sounds like. He's sort of somewhere in between Israel and Amalek, very strange crossover that we're talking about. And he says, "How could you possibly kill the Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of God?" And so David immediately orders that this young man is killed. And as he's dying, he says, "Domecha bero al roshecha, your blood is on your own head for killing the anointed one of God." And then the last part of this perek is dedicated to the eulogy that David HaMelech makes for Shaul and Yonatan. And it's the most moving eulogy. Many of the words are actually form the basis for many of the kel moleis, for many of the memorial services that we do today. And he basically turns out and in such emotive texts, he says, he talks about the land mourning. Hatzvi Yisrael al bamosecha chalol. He says, how could it be the land of Israel could have so many of the Jewish corpses on it? And he turns to the cities and he says, don't let the news out so the Plishtim and the women back at home sing about this episode. And he calls out to Har Gilboa, which is where Shaul died, and he tells it to weep and call out for the death that happened on it. And then he turns to Shaul and Yonatan, and he says, "Shaul v'Yonatan ha'ne'avim v'ane'imim b'chayehem v'moysom lo nifrodu." Shaul and Yonatan, who were loved in their life, and after their death did not depart. Minisharim kalu me'areos koveru. These are all the terminology we know. And he says, he calls upon all the daughters of Israel to mourn the loss of these two great leaders. Eich noflu giborim, how did the strong fall? B'toch ha-milchama. And he says something, then he goes much more personal. Tzar li alecha, achi, Yonatan. I'm so pained over you, my brother Yonatan. No, amtali me'od, you were so good to me. Kiniflesa avoscha li me'avas noshim. Your love for me was more than the love of women. And then he closes the perek. And how did the strong fall and the warriors of war were lost? Very, very painful experience that David HaMelech is clearly conveying. A few points to ponder as we look at this perek. This ends the actual perek summary. Let's think about a few things very quickly. First of all, why do you think this boy was coming to David? Meaning to say, why did he make his way over to David? You know, it could be he just wants to be a good reporter. But it could also be, like, it might be that he feels this person's probably got his own agenda. He probably thinks that David is the one being persecuted by Shaul. So if he's the one to give David the crown and produce the news, he would be paid finally for his services. So there could be a personal agenda which this person is seeking over here, which is also to be taken into account. Who actually is this person? So there is a very far out medrash in the Psikta who says that this is Doeg Ha'adami, which is fascinating. Doeg was one of the advisors of Shaul, who actually really brought Shaul down a very dark route. He brought about the massacre of the Nov Ira Kohanim, which was allegedly harboring David. And it's ironic that people who bring about so many rumors are ultimately going to be the tool of the destruction of the person they're trying to help, which is what the Psikta is trying to suggest. Rashi rejects such an idea. He says it doesn't make sense that Doeg would be this person. Nonetheless, let's just assume that he's this anonymous Amalekite or semi-Amalekite. Even that has its own sense of dramatic irony, because Shaul was the person who did not fully kill Amalekim, and in whose hand did he fall? He fell in the hand of an Amalekite, something worthwhile thinking about. Interesting halachic tidbit from this perek that we learn. The Radak points out that we learn the halacha from this perek that if Rachman Litzon, we hear about a huge community leader who affected our lives or the lives of our community who passed away, we tear kriya, like David tore kriya for Shaul, not a direct relative, not a blood relative, but nonetheless he tore kriya and so did the people around because of the status of the person who had died. And this is halacha which we observe today for great Gedolei Yisrael, the people who they affected in a more immediate setting. Why do you think David HaMelech killed this person? Meaning this is hearsay, meaning we don't have testimony, we don't have witnesses, this is based on his own testimony. Why was David HaMelech treating him so severely? So the Ralbag suggests, actually back in Shmuel Aleph, a very interesting idea, and that is, we're going to see that David HaMelech is going to be extremely careful when it comes to the protecting of kings. Even kings who are just about to die, David HaMelech says, I'm going to set the precedent that nobody is going to treat a king in such a way, because who's just about to become the king? David. David is setting the boundaries as to what it means to be a king of Israel. Last thing to think about, and that is David's personal note to Yonatan. We know Yonatan, he says that your love was greater to me than the love of woman. What does this mean? There are those who try to think and suggest, not the Mefarshim, who say, well, maybe there was a relationship, maybe there was some sort of other relationship, and sort of, you know, the pointing towards the homosexual relationship. I want to actually just move away from that. There is no indication in Tanakh at all that there is any of the language used for any relationship which is beyond deep friendship. Clearly, that's what Pirkei Avos adopts when relating to that relationship, but more than that. There's an incredible sefer written on Shmuel, a number of sefarim written on Shmuel by Rav Yehoshua Bachrach. One of them on Shmuel Aleph Perek Chof is a sefer called Machar Chodesh. In it, Rav Bachrach, at the last chapter, it's a chapter of about 45 pages, dedicates to the relationship of David and Yonatan, and well worth the read. He rereads the pasuk here in the most beautiful way based on the Midrash. What does David say when he says, Sali ma'od achi Yonatan, na'amtali ma'od? He says, your love was greater than the love of women for me. What does that mean? It doesn't mean to say that David HaMelech loved Yonatan more than his wife. What that means to say is, Me'avas Noshim, says, quoting the Midrash, is what Noshim? It's referring to Rachel and Leah. Meaning to say, Yonatan, your Rachel and Leah, who are able to come together at the end of the day, and they're able to respect each other and be able to actually sacrifice for each other. Rachel sacrificing the Simonim for Leah, Leah sacrificing the Dudaim, and various other aspects of the relationship that we see that were corrected afterwards. Much more information in that relationship. Those things which they were able to do for each other, and the two sides of the family which were able to coexist, existed between the two of us. Yonatan, you were the crown prince of Shaul HaMelech. Melech. You deserve that throne. You could have demanded that throne. You could have taken his side and betrayed me, and you didn't. You told me that you're going to be my Mishneh. You brought together the house of Binyamin and the house of Yehuda, the children of Rachel, the children of Leah. Now, you were stronger than even the love of Rachel and Leah, and that's what you were, Yonatan, and that's what I'm missing. Because the house of Israel can only be built when the two parts of it come together, and that's what David was mourning. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.